Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Cozy Club, a warm hug and podcast forum for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join us for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. I'm Reagan.
And I'm Monica.
And today's episode we're so very excited about because we're going to be chatting about not only our winter faves, but also some cozy Christmas gift recommendations. First, just want to quickly say if you guys have been enjoying the podcast, be sure to subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Leave a review if you don't mind. It does help us out so much. And if you haven't already, please submit any funny Christmas stories you may have at cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to have the opportunity to share them in an upcoming episode. They will, of course, stay anonymous. But Monica, I'm thrilled to have a gift guide today, especially because I want to hear your gift guide, write them all down, and then steal everything you're going to recommend.
I'm so excited. I love a gift guide. But before we talk about that, I did want to also note we had a lot of questions about our book club, basically just like when people should be reading the book by. So the episode that we're going to be actually discussing our book club pick, which is the Thursday Murder Club, is going to be the first week of February. So if you can, just try to have your book finished sometime in mid-January. And if you want your thoughts to be included in that episode, just send them over to us via email. Again, cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com. And your thoughts might be included in our discussion of the book.
Love that. And we definitely wanted a book club that was of a lower stakes. So we all have 2 months to read the book, you know, especially with the holiday season. We didn't want to add any pressure to anyone's schedule. We wanted it to be a good, cozy time, as that is the moniker of this podcast.
But yeah, on that note, we're super excited because today we're going to be talking about, we're going to, you know, be getting some examples or ideas for if you're stuck on what to get your friends and family for the holidays. But also we just kind of want to talk about some of our personal like winter favorites and the things that we've just been obsessed with and loving recently. So I guess we'll start off and talk a little bit about some like gift ideas, because this is something I've been kind of trying to put together, our like just interesting things to give people this year. And one of the things at the top of my list, and this is like so random, but I've recently become completely obsessed with, is my Pura wall, like plug-in wall diffuser.
I've been seeing the ads.
Yeah. Okay. I was getting the ads and I was like, what is this? It's like a fancy like Glade plug-in. Like why would anyone need this? And then I got one and it's actually so cool. So like, yes, it is just a fancy Glade plug-in. But if you have a friend or loved one who loves like scented things, like they love candles and they love like just having their space always be smelling like cozy and good, this is like the ideal gift for them, because basically you're able to, first of all, they're scent selection is sensational. Like they have all the like anthro candles, all of the Nest, or not candles, but scents. And they like the Day like shampoo and conditioner, which is like one of my favorite scents in the world. They have that as an option. So they have like just like the best scents that I've ever seen for like a wall plug-in. And then two, it's controllable via your phone. So you're able to
love a smart app.
Yeah. So it's like you're able to like have it plugged in and control how intense you want the smell. You can set a schedule. So you can have two scents plugged in. You could set a schedule for when each scent is going to start. So I start my morning with a certain scent and I end my day with a different scent. And it's just all pre-scheduled.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. I love it. This sounds so sponsored, but it's not.
No, it's so... Okay. I feel like... Did I ever tell you that HVAC story?
No.
So, okay. So I feel like this might be something I need to get. So I'm a big candle girl and I moved into my first house earlier this year. It's an older home. That's important for the context of this story. But over the summer, our AC was kind of on the fritz, and living in Texas, that's a huge issue because it's like 100 plus degrees every day. It's so hot. Anyway, so I call the AC person. They come to my house. They look around. And he literally just tells me I'm burning too many candles.
Oh, no.
Which feels fake. I literally was like, my first reaction was like, this somehow feels sexist. I was like, this feels like an attack. But he was literally like, you're burning too many candles. And I was like, I'm not running a seance in my house, but all right. But maybe the HVAC people and Pura need to like collaborate. That should maybe be the ultimate sponsorship, because he literally said, you know, flameless scent stuff is like better for your house, especially in the summertime. So if you care about your loved one, not only to enjoy beautifully timed scents, but also apparently to not break their AC units, it's a good gift. My first gift recommendation is also kind of one of those pieces of technology that seemed like, at first hearing about it or when I first saw ads, I was like, that seems unnecessary. And then Clay actually got it for me for Christmas 3 years ago, and it's completely changed my life. And that's the Ember mug. So this mug, and there's other versions of this too. So the Ember mug is kind of pricey, but you can also just get a coaster warmer for drinks as well, that I think is a cheaper option too. But the whole concept is it keeps your drink warm for hours. And I am such a slow drinker, especially in the mornings. I'm just trying to savor my cup of coffee, my cup of tea with my book or what have you. And this, I can spend all morning with the same cup and there's no rush. It's not getting cold. I also love my drinks to be at an extremely hot temperature. I hate like room temperature drinks. It's a real downer for me. So ever since I got this mug, I mean, I've used it every day since. It's like my emotional crutch in some regard. Like, I'm literally holding it in my hand right now as I'm talking to you, still drinking my cup of coffee from an hour and a half ago.
Does it get hot on the outside?
No, it's the same temperature as like holding a mug, if not less, because you know, sometimes mugs can be hot. Yeah, it's amazing. And it has an app too, so you can control the temperature that you want your drink to be at. So like me, someone who likes an intensely hot drink, I set it high. But say you do like a slightly cooler temperature, you can adjust it too. And it's like, so it's completely customizable. It's so nice. And just like, again, one of those things I feel like I would never splurge on for myself, because it feels like, oh, I don't need that, you know? But it's completely changed my routine. And I also feel like a perfect cozy gift, because who doesn't love a warm beverage while enjoying a book, you know?
That's true. That would be like such a nice, like, you give them a book and you give them the Ember mug, or like just some sort of like warmer. Who wouldn't love that?
Yeah. And and again, you can get just like a warmer. So if they have like a specific mug collection or whatever, like you don't have to get the mug, and they have tumblers too. But just a device that keeps your drink warm, life changer.
I feel like that those are the best gifts, are the ones where it's something that someone wants but that they like don't want to treat themselves to, or they feel it's like frivolous, or like, you know, for example, like I love, and maybe this is dweeby of me, but I love pajamas. And I think like, and this is something that I've sort of discovered over the past couple of years, is just my like deep love for like dressing cute at night. And like I don't know, there's just something about like being intentional about your night clothes that for some reason like just ups the cozy factor for me. Versus like I used to only wear just like, you know, school t-shirts or whatever that I've had for years, and switching that out, even with like t-shirts that I just like bought purposefully to lounge or sleep in, like it just changes the game, because there's something about like that ritual. I think that's what it is, honestly, is like the ritual of like picking out what you're wearing to bed and like having that little moment for yourself, that it just makes me feel nice and warm and cozy at night. And I feel like giving that gift to people, because like pajamas are something that like they can be kind of pricey, but they're so fun. But a lot of people, like, they don't want to, you know, spend, you know, $30 or $50 or $100, whatever, on, you know, clothes that people aren't going to see, that they're not going to be wearing out and about, because it feels frivolous, it feels silly. But that's what makes them such a good gift, because it's like giving someone the gift of like, you know, getting to like be frivolous just for themselves. And I think that's the other thing. Yeah. Like having it be like, this is just like my cute outfit, my cute and cozy outfit that's just for me. Yeah.
No, I love that. And it's funny you say that, because recently I feel like I've been trying to embrace this too. Quite literally before we started recording, I said, Monica, look at my cute new pajama set.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I similarly mostly wear like big t-shirts to bed, but I'm like, especially in the wintertime, something about the wintertime, I think because it gets darker earlier and we're just extra, you know, kind of snuggling up at home. Mm-hmm. Having really nice pajama sets is such a treat. And it tends to also be like one of my go-to requests. Like my mom will be like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know, just give me some pajamas or something. It's funny because I feel like I have pre-sleep lounge clothes, and that's generally where I splurge. Mm-hmm. I love a crew neck sweatshirt probably more than any other item of clothing in my collection of crew necks. I love them because I do this thing where I have my regular daytime clothes and then I change into my evening lounge clothes and then I change into pajamas. Mm-hmm. So it's like I have like a three act, and in that pre-sleep is always a crew neck, always. Maybe some leggings, maybe a sweatshirt. I finding a cool crew neck is like drugs to me. I love them. I love buying them. I have way too many, but it's probably like my most worn item of clothing.
I love anything that's just comfy. I do have a penchant for like Victorian ghost pajamas, I won't lie.
Yes. You do. They're cute, very frilly.
A nightgown. I feel like nightgowns are, like, underrated anymore because, like, people love an oversized t-shirt. And I'm like, what is a nightgown? But just an oversized t-shirt.
A longer oversized.
Yeah, exactly. So I will say that, like, that's the one thing that, like, if you have a friend who is just extra and I think, like, a nightgown is such a good gift because, like, I don't know, they're just so fun and you're silly.
Totally.
But so they can be so cute. I love like vintage ones too.
I also feel like to tag on to just PJs, if you maybe don't want to do PJs, but in the same vein, a nice pair of socks is also a great gift, which is hilarious because I feel like growing up, the joke is your grandparents get you socks and are like, ugh, what is this? But as an adult, I get it. Socks are nice, you know, especially when you get like a cool, like
good sock,
really soft, you know, like beautiful pair of socks. They're so nice to wear around the house, you know, with your slippers or obviously out and about.
We are so cool.
Like, I want socks for Christmas, pajamas.
Just the epitome of hype. What are they called? Hype beasts?
Oh, yeah, we're hype beasts. I only want Gucci socks, or what do hype beasts wear? I don't even know. My next recommendation, I think, is just fun and something I personally would love to enjoy. And maybe when I was making this list, I was like, I hope someone gets me this. But a tea or coffee set. I think a lot of people love a warm beverage, but like maybe go to like a cool brand. And I got this wheel of Sleepy Time teas from David's Tea, and it's so exciting. I feel like I open it up. It's just a collection of individual tea bags, and they're organized by like flavor, type, like situation, like they have a cold remedy in there, just, you know, different profiles, and it feels so fun. It's almost like a little gift every time I open it up. And because it's something you can use, there's so many uses for it. It's not just going to be like a one-time thing. And it's just like a simple little gift set. And, you know, lots of stores sell these things, you know, tea, coffee ones. Get someone like a really nice bag of really premium coffee beans or something like that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's one, always fun to try like a new tea flavor or coffee brand. But two, it really kind of can speak to someone's like passion. I'm personally just a big coffee and tea lover. So having like more flavors and things, like variety is the spice of life. It just, I feel like it just adds so much spice. I think I've said that now in both podcasts, variety is the spice of life. It's true though.
It is.
It's true. And I feel like it's a pretty easy thing to locate. There's so many, you know, you can get a big or small, you know, and I feel like it's just such a fun little gift, little gift set, you know?
I agree. I also feel like that's something that could be such a cool, like if you have to get, for example, a gift for like a lot of people, you could make your own even, which would be cool. So like, for example,
okay, to establish, Monica's very good at giving gifts. I'm less great. And she took my like good recommendation. She's like, let me bring this up a notch. Continue, Monica, because this is good. I'm gonna copy this.
Okay. So like, let's say you have like a big group of friends and you want to get everyone everyone a little something. Like, you could do, like, a week of coffee. And you just buy, like, 7 things of coffee and just, like, portion it out yourself. And, like, you could even buy, like, cute containers. Like, go to, like, an antique mall or even just, like, Marshall's and, like, get, like, cute packaging that then, like, each person gets, like, then this week of coffee. But also, like, yeah, like, cute tins or something that they can, like, use then afterwards. Whether they be thrifted or new or whatever.
See, I'm like, pre-packaged, store-bought, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Monica's like, custom, handmade. Both are good.
Both are
good. Monica's is better. Monica's is maybe a little better. But they sound... I'm just saying, a good drink. And you really could sub it with so many things. You could even...
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be, like, a drink. You could do it with, like, a cookie, like a pre-made cookie mix or something.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many subs you could put in there. That's such a good idea. And you're right. Totally something you could kind of mass produce for, like, a variety of people.
That actually is kind of a good segue into my next recommendation.
Ooh.
So, I love crafting, and I feel like there's always like people always talk about like, oh, here's like crafts you can make for your friends for Christmas. But something that I was thinking about recently, and I wish I had had this idea earlier before I had like gotten people presents, but like a lot of my friends want to craft, but they just like don't really know where to start, or they, you know, don't know what to buy, or it's just like, it is just sort of like an endeavor. You know, you have to buy a bunch of stuff, and it's like you buy a giant thing of yarn, you use it once, and then you just have all this leftover yarn. So like if you are a crafter, or if you like already have a hobby that you love that you know other people have shown interest in, I think like giving, like making little like intro kits is such would be such like a fun present for people, because like it's giving them the gift of like a new hobby, or like potentially a new hobby. Like, for example, if you want to, you know, get all of your friends into punch needles, so you know, for that maybe you go to Michael's or the thrift store. Thrift stores are amazing for yarn. Get like a bunch of yarn, get, you know, there's so many free templates online. You can get like a bulk order of embroidery hoops and some like cloth, and you just like split it up between your friends and like package it up nicely, and it's like you all have this like new craft that you can either do together or separately and share with each other, which I think is like just would just be such a fun, cool experience to like all of your friends have this like cute little hobby that they can all do together over the winter. I feel like that'd be really fun. So that was like a gift idea. That's, I was like, so I gotta save this one for future.
That's like, do you ever get those TikToks of that knitting club?
No.
And they meet weekly. Oh my God, I love it. So there's this TikTok series. It's a knitting club, and they meet weekly, and they're all working on like different projects, and they share and update like whatever they're knitting at the time. Like, that's basically, you could start like a little craft club. And you can jumpstart it by setting out a gift and like setting it up. Because I've recently started doing pottery class with one of my good friends, Lucy, and I'm terrible. I have no artistic bone in my body. But just even... one, doing this class with a friend, but also, you know, trying and failing at something that's a little artistic and fun, putting yourself out there, is such a joy. And I feel like if you are good, or even if you're not good, but if you are, it could be so helpful too, because you can kind of help your friends who might not be so great and kind of walk them through something that you really love. Is like sharing that passion. I think that's delightful. My last recommendation is an indie video game. This could be for the gamer in your life, so maybe do some, you know, research on the types of games they like to play. But on the flip side, I also think indie games are perfect for even the casual gamer, or maybe the gamer who's like interested but doesn't really know where to start, because there's just truly so many different types of games, especially in the indie category, that are lower stakes, a little more relaxing, more story oriented, and just can be like a delightful way to spend some time after work. And I think in the same vein as like finding the perfect book recommendation, finding the perfect indie game recommendation is also so fun. And then you can kind of share that if you've also played it and kind of chat about their experience with it as well. The great thing about indie games too is they tend to be significantly cheaper than, say, like buying the new, you know, Nintendo Mario release, if you will. Yeah. They can, you know, they can really range from like $10, $20, something like that. So it definitely is a lot more budget friendly, especially when you're trying to plan for that for the holiday season. And, you know, there's Steam, and obviously there's a lot on the Switch, you know, depending what consoles they have available to them or just their computer. There's also indie games for your phone. Like, there's so many different ways and places in which that you can play something. So that would be a recommendation I have too.
The gift of fun is just always nice. But with that, I guess we could dive into just some of our personal favorites that we've been loving. I guess it's still late fall, technically, but whatever. It's winter. It's December. Winter is a state of mind, and it's cold outside for me. So for me, it's winter now.
I agree. It's cold enough here in Texas for me to decide that it's winter.
So I know, like, one of our topics was shows. I'm going to be 100% honest. I have not watched a new show in a very long time. But it is Vlogmas right now. And I am so deep into Vlogmas specifically. Oh my gosh. I was so, I was worried Zoella wasn't going to do Vlogmas this year. I worry every
year. She's back.
Yeah. Because she's not, like, as active as she used to be. And, you know, you just never know when people are going to finally be like, okay, it's, we're done. But I was so excited that she did vlog, that she's doing Vlogmas again. And they just picked out their Christmas tree. And it just brings me so much joy. Yeah, truly. And it's just, there's, I just love Vlogmas. I feel like so many of us, like, grew up on Vlogmas videos. And so, like, to have them every year is always so fun. And I'm so glad that, like, those, like, OG creators are still making them, because I'd be really sad if they weren't. But yeah, that's probably my, like, only real, like, cozy, quote-unquote, show that I've been watching recently is just, like, everybody's Vlogmas videos. And I'm so glad that it has, like, that trend has never died, and I hope it never does die, because I need to be 80, you know, watching Zoella Vlogmas.
Oh man, no, same though. There's something about it, especially with those, like, core early British YouTubers.
Yeah,
I don't know, something,
they're just so good at it. It really, I could,
brings
never
me back. I think I tried once and I was like, this is hard, like, I don't, I can't do this.
Like, to be interesting every day,
for 25 days,
couldn't be me.
That's a lot. Yeah. All I do is sit on the couch with my cute pajama set and play video games or read books.
We just, like, waxed poetic about socks a few minutes ago.
I don't think we have it in us. I have recently watched two shows that are amazing pickups for the holiday season.
Yeah.
Amazing. First, Andor, the new Star Wars show.
Oh,
incredible. Incredible. The best Star Wars show that they have put out to date. Completely, finally capturing the potential of following storylines in the Star Wars universe that are kind of not necessarily directly following, like, the star characters. It's connected to the Rogue One storyline. I don't know how familiar you are with Rogue. Have you seen Rogue One?
Yeah, yeah. I love Rogue One.
Oh, so you would love Andor. So it's following, you know, the rebel cause. It has very, like, spy, espionage sort of components to it. And, you know, the moral struggle of kind of committing yourself fully to the rebellion, but also having to set aside your morals in some regards to kind of fight such a huge evil. It has such stakes, like, incredible television. Definitely one of the best shows I've watched this year. And I feel like Star Wars for me is, like, such a cozy franchise. Makes me think of the holidays always. Think about, like, sci-fi and space make me feel that way. But Andor, 10 out of 10. I literally have zero complaints about that show.
I love
it's
that.
It's wild. It is wild and so well acted, and just everything about it, incredible. And also, the new Lord of the Rings show, The Rings of Power. If you haven't seen it yet, you should watch it this holiday season. I always rewatch Lord of the Rings movies, which is kind of a spoiler for what I'll say about my cozy winter phase for movies. But I really loved the TV show. And I think, kind of speaking to what you said about the pacing and not trying to have things just be explosive in every episode, I feel like The Rings of Power TV show is definitely paced in that regard. Like, it definitely took its time setting things up. And I know the show is controversial for some fantasy fans. Personally, I thought it was great and I loved it. It was beautiful to watch, both from just the sets and the scenes and just all the little details. But the build-up to the storyline too was so satisfying. I was absolutely hooked. And I think that'd be a great watch too for this winter.
Yeah, I gotta watch all of them. I'm so bad at watching things, but
I think Andor's pretty intense. I know you don't love a lot of, like, action and violence, but if you love Rogue One, I feel like you've gotta watch Andor.
All right, good to know, good to know. Well, since you mentioned movies, shall we dive into some of our favorite Christmassy or cozy winter movies?
Yeah.
So I brought up basically Christmas movies, but I think I only have one other not Christmas movie that I've watched recently. But my favorite, like, wintertime Christmas movie that is basically how I start the season, and I think it's underrated, is this cartoon called Arthur Christmas. Oh. And it is... Have you watched it?
I'm going to Google it, right now.
Genuinely the most just adorable, pure, funny, like legitimately funny winter Christmas show ever. It's so underrated, but it's so just delightful. Basically, we follow Arthur, who is a son of Santa, and he has this big brother, and him, his like big brother and Santa are like working together.
Oh, I have seen this.
Yeah.
It's cute.
It's so cute. It's just like, there's something about this film that is just the coziest, most delightful film. It's just, it's so, like, everything from, like, Mrs. Like, if you just watch the film and, like, pay attention to Mrs. Claus and everything she says, you will get so much out of it because her lines alone are hilarious. So if you want, like, a movie that's funny, that's wholesome, that might make you cry a little but will also make you laugh, that has, like, some absurdist humor but is just, like, also just very British, you just gotta watch Arthur Christmas. It's my favorite. And I feel like people don't talk about it enough, but like that, I feel, and like Klaus, the best Christmas cartoons.
I feel like Klaus is incredible. I feel like I watched Arthur Christmas based on your recommendation, and it was so funny.
It's so good. It's got so many good one-liners in it that I try to reference, and then no one gets it. But so this is my plea for everyone to watch Arthur Christmas.
I feel like movies is really where I get into the holiday spirit, personally. Because I think there's like a nostalgic component to it as well. So yeah. I'll briefly mention Lord of the Rings Extended Edition rewatch. I don't care how pastoral in springtime these landscapes are. To me, they are completely a Christmas movie, and I will take no counter arguments.
It's funny. This is your, what is that movie that like guys are always like, it's a Christmas movie or whatever? They're like, action.
Oh,
movie.
Die Hard.
Yeah.
This is my Die Hard.
This is your Die Hard.
Die Hard actually makes more sense to be a Christmas movie because there's like Christmas trees in that movie. Like, I don't know. I also get a lot of joy watching terrible Christmas movies, like really bad ones.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's the famous ones, you know, like The Christmas Prince or The Princess Swap. I feel like royalty, they love a monarchy moment.
Who doesn't?
With Christmas
Who
movies,
doesn't want to be a princess?
Know?
Have you watched the Lindsay Lohan one?
I haven't yet.
I was just going to say, I usually don't like those kinds.
Bad
like,
ones?
Yeah, but I love Lindsay Lohan.
So there's like, I feel like there's even categories within the bad Christmas movies. There's kind of the A-list bad Christmas movies, which are the Vanessa Hudgens, the, you know, the princess ones. Those are the ones that I feel like people immediately think of when they think of bad movies for the Christmas holidays. But they still kind of have like higher budgets, you know? They have like a famous person in it. There's like D-list bad Christmas movies. Like these were made, like the script was written in like 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it's like illogical. And I watched one last year called The Christmas Wedding Planner. It's probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life, but it was so bad it became amazing. The concept is this woman is basically planning a wedding for her cousin, this rich, lavish wedding, like during Christmas. But then for some reason, there's a private investigator cop who shows up in her planning process because he's trying to find this like stolen jewel. I don't know why. And they begin working together, and it makes no sense at all. But the best part is, it kind of spoils it, but I feel like, oh, Joey Fatone is in this movie from NSYNC.
Sold. What do you mean D-list?
Okay. Sorry, Joey.
A-list
sorry.
All the way.
He's not really in this movie. So they're like on stakeouts. So she's planning this wedding, but also on stakeouts trying to find this lost jewel. Like, the storylines are not cohesive at all. But my favorite part is the end. And I'm going to just reveal it if you want to skip me spoiling this movie, but I feel like this should be why you watch this movie, just to see how in the world this happens. This girl plans this entire wedding for her cousin, but she's the one that somehow gets married at the end. She hijacks the wedding for herself.
What?
It's impeccable. It's an impeccable, terrible movie. It makes no sense at all.
That's sensational.
Christmas Honestly, Wedding I'm Planner sold. On Netflix. On Netflix.
Yeah, I feel like I, unfortunately, even though I have my AMC A-list pass that I pay for every month, and I just do not use it as much as I should.
Oh, no.
I meant to try and go see, I wanted to go see Glass Onion, but Netflix is annoying. And they literally, I didn't realize, 1 week. Exactly. One week. To the T. Because I was like, surely it'll still be on Friday.
No.
No, not there anymore. I was so upset. Now I have to wait a whole month.
Disturbing. Oh my god, it's not out on streaming immediately?
No, it's not going to be out until the end of December. Like, I think the day before Christmas.
So there's just this whole group of people who have seen it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm just like, I don't understand. I want to understand this, like, business decision, like,
That's
to have
so strange.
A film. Yeah, I don't get it.
I get it for a week in theaters because they're Netflix, but shouldn't it then just be immediately released on Netflix? Like, why are we waiting a month?
Also because, like, you've built the hype by having it in theaters, and then you I don't know.
And it's a mystery movie, so the reveals and everything.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Strange.
So, well, something that I did recently that I loved, that I'm like, oh, everyone should do this, is I went to a community theater performance of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I try to do that every year.
Okay, so I've never really gone to, like, just community theater performances before. But my niece back in Pennsylvania was in this production, and, you know, she's wonderful and such a great actress and all of that. But so I was excited to go support her. But community theater, it's just so many hijinks, it's just, you know, and I, like, there's just something so wholesome about, like, people of all ages coming together to, like, just put on a show, like, where they have no reason to do so, you know, like, they're not trying to add it to their, like, they're not, like, forced to do it because they're in a program together or in college or, like, you know, they just, like, legitimately want to put on the show. There's something so pure about that. But also, like, because it is, like, people doing it as a hobby, there is that level of, like, when I was sitting there in the theater, I was like, I feel like I'm in, like, Gilmore Girls right now. Like, I'm in Stars Hollow.
It's very endearing.
It's very endearing, but it's also, like, kind of hilarious, too.
Yeah.
At certain points, like, I remember at one point they, like, had Scrooge's bed on wheels, and they were, like, wheeling him off the stage, and they smashed into the wall. So it's, like, things like that. But also, like, because she's in the show, I also, like, got some of, like, the inside scoop on, like, what making the show gossip. Is like. Yeah, the gossip, the tea. Not that there's really tea. But I don't know. There's just something so delightful about that. And
I agree.
It's something that I wish I had done more growing up, because, like, I grew up in Pennsylvania. There obviously was more community theater productions, and I wish that I had just, like, taken advantage of that more. I feel like people are, like, Broadway or bust, but, like, there's something so wholesome and pleasant about just, like, seeing people in your community who, like, you know, want to perform. What's your favorite winter Christmassy activity?
So, I feel like I have some solo ones. So, I love puzzles, which I feel like I talk about ad nauseum, but a holiday puzzle is just really good. And there's something really relaxing. I feel like during the holidays, especially that week leading up and a few days after, I kind of just become like a little blob. And as a blob, just kind of sitting and doing puzzles and drinking tea and having coffee, I find so relaxing and fortifying. And it's just my favorite thing. And that's, like, kind of a solo activity I love to do. I will puzzle with other people, but I'm also just very good at puzzles. So I feel like I just leave people in the dust and people don't stick around for very long. When I puzzle with my family, they come up and they're like, put a piece in, and then they'll leave me and then come back 3 hours later and I'm still going at it. Like, I'm addicted to puzzles. But I also love to do activities, I feel like, that feed, like, my inner child almost. So things I love to do when I was a kid, I try to do again. So I already mentioned, like, gingerbread house decorating. I love to do that. It's really hard. They never turn out looking nice at all. I don't take it seriously because I would lose my mind if I did. But I like to get those kits and then invite people over and it kind of be like a little activity that everyone does together.
I wish I was better at, like, things like gingerbread house making. Like, I wish I was on that
level.
Terrible. Well, no, like, I wish I was okay with being bad. I just, like, I'm so bad at it, but I'm also, like, but I want to be good at it, you know?
Good at it? Yeah, I'm just here for the good time. I'm here for a good time, not... I'm not trying to stress myself out. That's how I feel about pottery class, too. I'm, like, so bad, but I've gotten better. But I feel like I go in... I think it helps because I'm not artistic, naturally, so I'm like, whatever happens, happens, you know?
I feel like my other, like... wintry favorite right now is just like because it's cold and I don't want to turn my heat on yet, so I just want to like spend time under the blankets or like just curled up and I obviously reading is great, but I have been playing a lot of different games recently, mostly because I was doing this one video about like cozy phone game wrecks, and so I was like I tested like I don't know, like 30-50 games over the course of like the past few weeks. So now I'm like real deep into like phone games. And I started playing this one, and I think it's available across a variety of platforms. And this is, I think, probably my favorite like winter game right now. And it's called Jenny LeClue. And it is a mystery game, but it's so fun. And it's like legitimately like such a good mystery. And it might be, I think it's still my second favorite mystery game of all time. My first favorite is The Room, but that is specifically on the Oculus, on VR. So it's a little bit harder to get for people. But Jenny LeClue, basically you follow this girl who is the protagonist in this man's cozy mystery middle grade series. So like very much our vibe. And he has been writing this series for decades. And people are just kind of bored with it because... she, like, nothing bad ever happens in this town. Like, there, you know, there's really no, you know, big mystery happening. It's very innocent. And she's also very frustrated. Like, she's this detective. She's the smart protagonist. And she's like, I want a real mystery. And so that's sort of the premise. And she does get a real mystery. And I don't want to say anything else because I feel like discovering everything is, like, half the fun of these games. And it's, like, legitimately, like, emotional. There's like really great character development. The art is so fun. And again, I feel like mysteries are just like such a good winter activity, whether you're reading them, watching them, playing them. And so if anyone is looking for a mystery to play, highly recommend Jenny LeClue. It was just such a good time. And I'm still playing it and I'm having a wonderful time with it.
That sounds so cute.
Yeah. And it's available, I think, on a variety of platforms. So you can get it on your phone, but I think you can also get it on, like, Switch and stuff, so.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like games are always so fun. Like, either, like, board games with your family, personal games, like, playing on, like, Switch. I feel like I increase my game consumption, especially during the holidays, especially when my family gets together, because... my brother and I, especially, I'll say, are pretty competitive. So we like to challenge each other. Trivia is really big in my house, my family's house. So stuff like that is always, I always look forward to that quite a bit with any family get together is the games.
My family does not play games except Monopoly.
Yeah. And
the way that my family takes Monopoly, it's so serious. We have a mahogany Monopoly board. It is life or death. It is such a serious...
You've told me some of your family stories. It's bananas.
There have been, like, multiple, like, really intense fights because of Monopoly. But just in general, like, there's so much lore around Monopoly in my family. And, like, I personally, I don't think I can play Monopoly with people outside of my family because we have our own specific rules that we didn't realize were, like, our rules until one day we were, like, looking something up in the rule book and we're like, wait, excuse me? I stand by that our rules are better. But
well, what's one of the rules?
So, for example, every time you have to pay for something that isn't paying someone else or buying a piece of property, all of that money goes into free parking. And if you land on free parking, you get all that money. And it leads to just the most chaotic experience when anyone lands on free parking. And it's always my mom. Somehow, I don't know how she does it, but she always lands on free parking. And it is like, you would think that she had actually won the lottery when it happens.
That sounds amazing. Like,
that's like the only game that my family plays like as a whole, but like, oh boy, do we get into it.
I love that family tradition. I feel like family holidays aren't truly family holidays unless you're screaming at each other a little bit.
That's you know? True.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like Monopoly, at least, you can all get that out in a game versus other situations around the house, you know?
Fair.
Everyone can get
Fair
their enough. Frustrations out focused on Monopoly. I think my final favorite activity I'll mention is a good old-fashioned Christmas market.
Yes.
I love just looking at little stalls. I love buying some hot chocolate. I love perusing and just seeing. Something about them just feels so festive. New York has so many beautiful ones. I know Monica and I, yeah. too, because we love a Christmas market. We have traveled to other places to experience their mm-hmm. Christmas markets, and I'm sure we will continue to do so in the future. But there's just something so endearing about, you know, like there's an ice skating rink. There's just like such a ambiance in the air, like mulled wine. The whole experience is probably my favorite, like out of the home Christmas activity, I think, a market.
I agree. And you can find such fun things at them. Like
yeah.
I love this past, this current Christmas, I went mm-hmm. to the Bryant Park Christmas Market with my family. And, like, mm-hmm. obviously, like, I live in New York City, but even growing up, like, we had Christmas markets in Scranton and all of that that were also really fun. Or even, like, not even Christmas markets, but, like, you know, holiday pop-ups or, like, DIY pop-ups, things like that.
There's always a lot of, like, show, like, local maker shows. Like, mm-hmm. most cities put these on, and I'm sure there's, like, holiday versions of them if you look online, like there's always like little pop-ups like that. There's always a bunch in Austin at least too.
Yeah. So anyways, we went to the Bryant Park one and there was this, I love maple anything, like maple flavored stuff. I just think it's so delicious. Not with bacon. Bacon's disgusting. So sorry to everyone who loves it. I know.
Wrong.
I'm so sorry.
That's an ultimate combination.
But I love the flavor of maple. And so there was this maple booth, and they had something called maple cream, which I'd never heard of before, but apparently it's, like, a thing that you can make, too. I won't be making it because I feel like I'll mess it up. But they were selling it, and it's what it sounds like. It's just, like, a cream that's made out mm-hmm. of maple syrup, but it is the most delicious thing in the whole entire world.
Is it liquid, or is it spreadable?
It's spreadable. So imagine, like, a maple,
like, a butter?
Like Nutella.
Oh.
Yeah. So like maple Nutella, and it's
so yummy.
Are
you just putting
it
on everything?
And so, absolutely. So my favorite thing though is I just like the easiest dessert in the whole entire world. I will just make toast and I'll put a little bit of like peach preserve or peach jam on the toast. And then I like drizzle some of the maple cream. And then if I really want to be indulgent, I'll add a little bit of whipped cream. And it's basically like I've just like made a little piece of like cake. But out of
that
toast.
Sounds amazing.
It's so easy though and so comforting, and it's just been like the coziest snack, like nighttime snack, and I'm obsessed with it, and I basically don't want to eat anything else in the world right now.
Speaking of peach preserve, I have one actual last activity. I got an advent calendar this year. I got a jam advent
How's
calendar.
How's that going?
It's been delightful. Every morning I wake up, I see what jam I'm gonna eat with my toast. And it's just, like, I love the little surprise of it all. It's such a low-stakes surprise. It's not like, you know, like, oh, whoops, I don't love anise. Okay. Like, it's not a big deal, you know? And it's just such a little delight. I'm glad advent calendars are taking off in America because I feel like it's more of a European thing. But I feel like every year they have, like, more options to pick from.
But yeah, I think we've tapped out on all of my current favorites. I don't know about you.
Same. I feel like it's a long episode.
I know. So sorry. We just love a lot of things right now.
Yeah.
'Tis the season, as they say. But yeah, I just want to thank you all so much for hanging out with us. We would love to hear from you all. What are some of your winter favorites? You can either email us or DM us at cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com or cozyclubpodcast on Instagram. And we are going to be doing a episode sharing just like funny Christmas stories. So if you have any that you want to share, feel free to email us and we'll include them and we'll 100% make them anonymous. So no worries there if you don't want people to know who's sharing them.
And if you're so inclined, please subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform of choice and leave us a review as it really does help us out. And I think we can move into our catchphrase, Monica. Do you want to say it?
Yeah, thank you again so much and stay cozy.
Bye, everyone.